And bring your knee to your chest.
Lie on your side. Bring your knee to your chest.
With your hands.
With your hands.
While one hand will hold the knee, and this is the opposing hand.
Hold the knee in one hand and hold the knee.
The other hand will clench a fist, although not strongly, and will gently tap on the butt, in the buttocks area.
You guys are all sounding kind of angry, is what we're hearing from the establishment.
Hey, this was the Union of Time Thieves. Up next is the Sudden Radio Project, and you are listening to KBOO in Portland. Have a wonderful night. Go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Listen more to this.
Seconds after the hour. This is the Sudden Radio Project. It's a rerun from about 2003. This program is dedicated to first-time SRP listener Heidi Hinshaw. Welcome to Portland.
Hello, I'm Susan B. Anthony.
And I'm Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
The struggle for women's suffrage was long and difficult.
But we succeeded.
Ultimately, we did.
And cable was an important part of that struggle.
Sure was.
I remember our first interview.
Attempted interview.
Transmitter blew out.
Oh, such a shame.
Oh, sure was.
Oh, it was karma, though.
Karma?
I wasn't a member.
Really?
I ran straight home and dialed 503-232-8818 and pledged a sack full of Susan B. Anthony's to cable.
Oh, I don't see many of those anymore.
I've got hundreds.
Oh, makes sense.
Not a very flattering portrait, though.
Oh, beats those bulbous-headed new bills.
True.
Ever since the day you dialed 503-232-8818 and joined
it cable... It might have been 1-877-500-5266. I lived in Vancouver at the time.
Really?
Oh, I confess I did.
Oh, but since you joined, well, I don't believe the cable transmitter has failed once.
Oh, not once.
No, ma'am.
Oh, it's karma.
Karma, you betcha.
Sure enough.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. It's the last hour of the last Monday of the month. Time for another hour of auditory adventures from the Sudden Radio Project. Tonight, we present a special membership drive edition of the program, wherein we will entreat you to call 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877-500-5266 and contribute a few of your hard-earned dollars to the station that brings you commercial-free grassroots radio theater. We know you'll be drifting off to sleep soon if you haven't already, and our volunteer phone answerers will be heading home and drifting off to sleep as well if they haven't already. So call now. 503-232-8818. Becoming a member of KBOO will not improve engine performance, freshen your breath, correct sexual dysfunction, or make you reek of some overexposed celebrity. But it will, nonetheless, make you happy.
Why have you come to me, my child?
I've come to seek enlightenment, O big time wise one.
Enlightenment?
I'm lost, O big time wise one. I wander aimlessly in a cavern of dead ends and corporate programming. I seem to hear the same five songs wherever I go, and I can't find an alternative political opinion. My world is shrouded by the gloom of product placement and drive through consumerism. I wonder, O big time wise one, if there isn't more to the world than overproduced rock and roll.
You are wise to seek, my child. The way you walk is thorny.
Isn't that a line from the Wolfman?
Doesn't matter. You are in danger of drifting into nothing. And as you know, nothing is more real than nothing.
Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that from a Beckett play?
Doesn't matter. I have what you seek, my child.
Will it help me understand the world, O big time wise one?
Ah, you betcha, my child. It is called K-Boo.
K-Boo? Isn't that radio?
Radio in the most enlightened way. It is a community-driven radio station full of diverse programming, music, public affairs, news, and information about your community. The community that will sustain you when the corporate message is only that isolation and consumerism will sustain you. I urge you to become a member, child.
Is it very expensive to take part in this celestial enterprise, O big-time wise one?
Pennies, practically, little tadpole. It can be deducted from your account monthly, and you won't even miss it. You'll be supporting enlightenment and getting it at the same time.
Two for one.
In the self, there is always two.
Hey, isn't that from...
Marvin! Dinner's ready!
I must withdraw my green little rutabaga.
You have helped me, O big-time wise one. I have found enlightenment. Even now, before I become a member, I can feel the enlightenment from this.
KBOO 90.7 FM.
90.7. Is there anything I may do in return for this great knowledge, O big time wise one?
Mervin, it's getting cold!
Yes, just shut the garage door on your way out. And take that little bag of trash to the garbage can for me, won't you, my little twig sap? Go forth and listen.
K-B-O-O 90.7.
Mervin!
Good evening. Welcome to I'm Right and You're Not. I'm Dan Wright.
And I'm Surely Not.
Tonight on I'm Right and You're Not, we'll be discussing a groundbreaking new study by Professor Harry Knowles, which proves what you folks in the Wright Brotherhood have always known, that Dan Wright is always damn right.
Oh, come on, Dan. You must get it wrong at least once in a while.
That's not what the facts indicate. And Dan Wright only deals in facts. Isn't that damn right, Professor?
Damn straight, Dan. My colleagues and I have thoroughly analyzed every public statement you've ever made, and we found that every word you've said is indisputably correct. Furthermore, using statistical analysis and computer modeling to extrapolate from your current rate of accuracy, we have discovered that every statement you will ever make will be absolutely true.
Hey, do you expect me to believe that Dan Wright has never been and will never be wrong? I thought only the gods were infallible.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks, Shirley. Looks like we have a caller on the line. It's Herm from Hermiston. Herm, are you a Wright brother or a knothead?
Well, I prefer to be neutral.
Oh, give me a break, Herm. Everybody knows that in this world,
you're either on the side of Wright or you're on the side of not.
I just wanted some more details on the professor's methodology, that's all.
I think the results speak for themselves. What more is there to say?
Just one thing. If you're going to sit on the fence, you should pull the post out of your posterior before you open your mouth.
Excuse me, Professor, but I think the people deserve a more substantive explanation of your methods.
Shut up, Shirley!
And the people have spoken. What else did you find in your study, Professor?
My research team conducted a poll in which respondents were asked, is Dan right always right? 47% agreed that you are always right. And a whopping 53% said you are always damn right.
I hate to rain on your parade, Dan, but it seems significant to me that nearly half did not say you were always damn right.
You can't split hairs on a bald man, Shirley. They all agree that I was right, and none of them said I was not.
How damn right you are, Dan. I think you also might be interested to know that the pollsters asked whether Shirley Knott was always right or always not, and exactly 100% said not.
What? That's not possible.
Shut up, Shirley.
We have another caller, Trina from Trenton. Are you a right brother or a knothead?
I'm a knothead and proud of it. I happen to be on the same college faculty as your guest, and I think your audience, or at least those who are still capable of thinking for themselves, would be interested to learn that Professor Knoll's position is funded entirely by the Dan Wright Foundation.
Thank you, Trina, for providing yet another example of how quickly knotheads will resort to slander, innuendo, and conspiracy mongering when they can't win an argument based on evidence.
Once the evidence is irrefutable.
It certainly is.
I think Trina brings up an important point.
Shut up, Shirley!
We have time for one more caller. Louise from Louisville. Are you a right brother or a knothead?
Well, Dan, I'm no wood noggin, that's for sure. My husband was a right brother before he died, and I'm sure he's up there with the right father cheering you on. And my son, the straight one, he's a right brother. Now, I don't know squat about colon and statistics and all that, but I do know what's right and what's not. And if there were more people like you who weren't afraid to stand up for what's right and fight like the Dickens against what's not, we wouldn't be in the god-awful mess we're in. And I just wanted to express my appreciation.
I'm honored. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I also have a few words for your co-host. Eat my fucking short, miserable whore.
And with that, we'll wrap up another edition of I'm Right and You're Not. I'm Dan Wright, the one who's always damn right.
And I'm Shirley Knott, the one who's always not.
I'm Right and You're Not is brought to you by the Dan Wright Foundation, DW Enterprises, and the Wright Academy. Find out more at www.damwright.danwright.
Think that if we raise the minimum wage, it would make any difference whatsoever. The minimum wage in Oregon, California, and Washington is all over $7 an hour. And believe me, we got more illegal aliens than you can shake a stick at.
We can stay here all night.
Look, I don't know. I'm telling you. Since you forced them underground.
Me?
Don't kid me. Your FCC. After Clear Air bought the FCC, stations like KABU were forced into pirate positions. And you changed the membership rules, and people were too afraid to become members.
He's delusional. Hit him again.
I won't talk. I'm not going to tell you where they are.
I won't. I won't.
North Dakota, we've been to Alaska and a lot of other places. We like seeing our country. In fact, we're less interested in going anywhere else on the planet than just going other places. We'd love to come down to Macon.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. I'm a programmer. My name is Layla. I'm editing tonight in the studio.
You're not on the list.
But I've signed out studio time. My show is tomorrow night. I have to edit.
Show me the tattoo. Move it up toward the camera.
See? Now please let me into work. I'm a volunteer, honest. You have to trust me. There are only 2 staff members left, and the rest are volunteers. Of course we're going to be hard to track. but I'm telling you the truth.
What's the phone number to become a member?
503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266.
Oh, man. I've got to back announce. Damn. If you're FCC, I'm...
Hi, Layla. Thank God you're here. I'm supposed to be editing. What do you need?
There was a raid on Sierra's house, and she had to run in the middle of a volunteer training. She did all the tech stuff, but left me with the Q&A, which I can't really do, you know? I've got to get home before curfew, or they'll notice my pattern again and find us.
All right. I'll do it. I was planning to stay here all night anyway. You run along. You owe me. So now you may have a few questions. My name is Layla, and I engineer the alternative government now. Who's first?
She didn't tell us the phone number to become a member.
It's 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266.
So why is membership necessary if the station's on the air already?
This bunker and everything that is in it is paid for by you, the members. Listeners who don't join don't help us, and they don't realize that alternate perspective programming will disappear from the airwire when we are gone. It's vital that every single listener become a member. Tell your comrades. Tell them to call 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266 from a ghost phone so they can't be detected and become a member.
Why are we underground?
Good question. See, in the old days, before 2010, the FCC was a government organization, and they controlled only licensing and censorship. We thrived on membership. People were willing to support the open-minded alternative voice on what was then called radio. And we had 24-hour, expansive, complex programming that inspired our members and gave them hope for possibility.
But I have hope now, just listening to KBOO and shows like Remember Democracy.
Yes, yes. You depend on us for that hope. And we all know that it is not an option. But before the corporate FCC, people thought it was a luxury, like 2 loaves of bread a week.
I remember those days.
Right. Listen, I have to work on my program.
What program is that?
The Leisurely Airwire Theater Venture. So, now, you are our emissaries. Go. Tell your friends to call 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266. Spread the word of KBOO so that one day the Airwire will have a free voice that people can listen to without fear of repercussion, and a place where members are listeners who run and control the station can listen, come, participate in the community, and have a voice in safety.
Do you think it's possible we could be above the ground again?
It's certainly possible, but it all depends on you.
503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266.
But we were down there. We drove into a fast food place called In-N-Out Burger. And they had a sign in the window that said 9:50 an hour, help wanted, just to flip burgers. And I said, well, I know the minimum wage down here is just over 7, so they're obviously offering $2 an hour above minimum wage. And I'd swear almost every person working in there was Hispanic. Now, they may have been legal, they may have been illegal, I don't know. But if they were offering 9-something an hour, it means the marketplace was saying...
And Night of the Living Tongue, your local live weekly experimental variety show. Next week will be Noisy Duo Disjunct. And now... onward to Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura.
He walked along behind her on the path. His feet slipped on the sand. The thick dune grass grazed his leg. Her footprints were still light. He studied them. The delicate insole, the deep impression from her heel. Her pregnancy wasn't showing yet in her step, or much on her waist. Her soft abdomen had always been a warm swell he could rest his head on. Now the child hid there, like a sleeping badger in a stolen den, dreaming of biting the returning animal.
He knew it was there because she told him it was there. Still a boy, he might not have known how to see it.
Barely a woman, she might not have known how to see it. No, she might have known before that, because her fluids had run thick and viscous like sea foam, replacing the flow of blood.
He might have known even before that, because she tasted different. He didn't know why, but felt he was sinking as the spice and iron washed over his tongue. A trickster flavor he felt was laughing at him. He felt something slipping away as he lapped at her soft folds and grabbed her legs harder, drew her to him, as if he could slip his whole body inside, a selkie crawling back into its skin, draw her to him before she evaporated in his hands.
Now he followed her helplessly down the path that led up the creek, over the sand, and into the forest. The sun stood hotly midway in the sky, and the moon was just a ghost on the horizon, a pale circle. He wondered how, as pale as it was, the moon's pull was yet strong enough to pull the entire weight of the ocean with all its secrets up onto land. It pulled it up onto shore and into the creek that he walked beside. The salt water creeping stealthily up the river, pushing the fresh water before it, reversing the creek's flow. The rolling made a tiny, harmless noise, a musical ripple, sounding like it was pretending. Pretending it wasn't eating away at the land at his feet, like it wasn't changing the entire landscape, flooding the trees on the sandbars and languidly erasing his footsteps. Pretending it was just creeping in for a quiet look around.
It steadily washed over driftwood, stumps, dead crabs, the picked-over corpse of a sandpiper. It turned over shelves of tiny rocks, pungent iron-colored water drowning living dune grass and reedy saplings on the creek bank. Always pushing, pushing the fresh water back up into the canyon, up into the forest. A small current subsumed by a deep one. It did all this with the smallest sound, a gentle but insistent swirling, soothing. Nothing you'd notice until it silently poured between your toes, startling you into the awareness that you'd been cut off on the sandbar.
Nothing you'd notice until it silently poured between your toes, startling you into the awareness that you'd been cut off in the forest.
It did this every day, and every day the land reemerged.
He walked on the edge of the path, furthest from the encroaching water. It arched over a dune and sank back down into a hedge of fragrant blossoms, so strong it made him dizzy. It was heady, like only flowers ripening into August berries can be. A honey pepper smell that made him ache for his childhood. Dusk falling on trees, and his mother calling him into bed. The lonely, echoing call robins make in the evening, and the feeling of sunburn and scratched legs, and the smell of his mother's hair. All tumbling through his heart, inseparably tied to the berry blossoms. One emotional meme. The meme read, longing.
He wanted to catch up to her and say her name and see her smile at him over her shoulder without stopping her pace the way she does. She always knows where she's going.
She always knows where she's going.
The curve of her cheek, the sunlight catching the tiny blonde hairs of her cheek, the curve that implies but doesn't reveal a smile. He looked for it to give him comfort.
But she has penetrated the thicket now. Up ahead, a damp, dark green has swallowed her. And the spice gives way to thick, moist air. Air heavy with ancient moss and earth, the iron smell of blood. Up ahead, the badger twists in its den, dreaming. twists in her womb, dreaming. He hesitates.
He hesitates. And then he ducks under a tree trunk, growing over the path, squints into the darkness, and crosses the threshold into the musty, damp air of the forest.
Sound muffles almost instantly. The distant sound of the surf, the drone of insects, the tumbling of tiny stones in brackish water, they all disappear. The cool air rolls like fog into his ears and seals them like cotton. His eyes try to adjust to the low green light, and he trips over the entangled roots of firs, skinning his hand on their bark. The roots crisscross again and again, running over the ground like living veins exposed to the touch of animals. Like a superstitious child, he recoils from walking on them.
A tiny musical swell startles him in the thick quiet, and he sees the vicious salt water lapping around the roots, moving blackly through the edges of the forest.
The water makes his heart hitch.
Where is she?
He peers through the muffled depths for her light hair, for any ray of light. He sees only trees and their roots. She evaporated in the trees, into the lapping salt water where he cannot follow. Him, the boy. The boy that would be father. And the other boy, the sleeping animal in the den. Deep in the den where the roots should be, small as a tadpole, but already with teeth that would cut him. She and the little badger will navigate the forest safely. She always knows where she's going.
She evaporated in the trees, into the lapping salt water where he cannot follow. Him, the boy that would be father. And the other boy, the sleeping animal in the den, deep in the den where the roots should be, small as a tadpole, but already with teeth that would cut him. She and the little badger will navigate the forest safely. She always knows where she's going.
Meriwether Lewis.
And I'm William Clark.
On our legendary expedition to the Pacific Northwest, we discovered a great many fascinating things.
Like the bodacious weed.
Clark.
I mean the incredibly diverse flora and fauna.
But no discovery was more inspiring than the day we were floating down the mighty Columbia and tuned our radios to KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland.
Voila! Jamdan with Hasdavi Razdama.
Stop it, please.
Or was it Shocks of Sheba?
We were so enthralled. The moment our party made landfall at the confluence of the two great rivers, we rushed to the nearest telephone, dialed 503-232-8818, and became members of KBOO.
For just a few beaver pelts a year, you too can become a part of this trailblazing radio station. Listener-supported and commercial-free for as long as anyone can remember.
So please, paddle down to the KBOO broadcast cabin at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Stumptown.
Budtown.
Or send a smoke signal to 503-232-8818. If you're listening in the wilds of the Willamette Valley or Southwest Washington, call 1-877-500-KBOO and make your pledge to the superlative radio station.
Are you going to bogart that joint all night, Lou?
What happened to your bong?
Sacagawea ran off with it.
Who?
Sacagawea.
Did the two of you have another spat? Give her a few beads and trinkets. That'll bring her around. I'm an alcoholic.
alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic.
I like the way it feels running down my throat. It tingles. I'm an
alcoholic. It washes the pain away.
I'm addicted to crack.
One breath, that's all it takes, and I'm in ecstasy.
You have to savor moments like that.
I use glue.
It satisfies the hunger. I was 12 when I had my first drink.
I was 15.
Drank two bottles of my dad's Merlot.
For me, it was a six-pack of Bud Light.
The funny thing was that he never noticed.
He beat me senseless.
Or he never said anything.
Literally beat me.
He didn't care.
He slammed my head on the edge of the counter.
I snuck a bottle of that shit a night.
He was mad at me.
Every time I went back for more, the liquor cabinet was restocked.
I had gotten blood on her new countertops. She made me clean it.
He never said a word to me.
I hitchhiked to the hospital.
I was 12 years old when I started drinking. There's supposed to be some kind of discipline when that sort of shit happens.
21 stitches straight across here.
I was starved for love.
I've never felt pain like that before. I'm not talking about just my head, but inside. Inside I hurt.
Alcohol wasn't strong enough to fill the void. Started smoking weed.
I needed a drink.
Moved on to
crack. There wasn't any pain there.
One inhale of that shit and everything was perfect.
No pain.
No suffering.
It was all gone.
Every day I used a little more.
I had to keep the pain out. I
couldn't stop.
I was on a roller coaster and I couldn't get off.
I savored the dips and turns.
You know that feeling when you're on a roller coaster?
It made me feel so good.
That rush?
Heaven on earth. Or maybe it was a little glimpse of hell.
It wasn't enough.
Is anything ever enough?
I wanted more.
I'd be drinking, smoking crack, and using glue all at the same time.
This was my life, every day.
Started blacking out.
I blacked out a lot.
No memory.
More.
I needed more.
Every day.
I needed more.
Nothing is ever enough.
I'd wake up and reach for the bottle of vodka by my bed.
I couldn't function without it.
Shit.
He kicked me out of the house when I graduated. I don't know how I did it. Graduated. I don't know how I graduated.
He never said anything.
I moved in with some friends.
I did whatever I wanted.
All the drugs. All the fucking drugs.
Started dealing. Have you ever held $5,000 cash in your hand?
Heaven on earth.
Have you ever smelt it?
Heaven on earth.
It's sweet. Delicate sweet.
I was living the dream. Living the life.
What is the dream?
I don't have any dreams.
Dreams are a funny thing.
Every day I'd wake up.
This is reality.
Give me something.
Living the dream.
Give me something.
Living the dream.
Give me something.
Living the dream.
Give me something.
Breathe. Just breathe.
I couldn't breathe anymore. I was suffocating.
Living the dream.
I needed a fix.
Heaven on earth.
A hit of something strong.
Living the dream.
Something to stop the fury. Heaven on earth.
It's within us all. It's how you deal with it that defines you.
Too much anger.
Too much pain.
Heaven on earth.
Make it stop.
Heaven on earth.
Make it stop!
It hurt. My body needed crack. It needed a fix. And I gave it what it wanted. Only then would the fury subside.
I had to give it what it wanted.
Heaven on earth.
What I wanted.
I started to get sick. Bad sick.
Heaven on earth.
I'd been sick before, no big deal, right?
I woke up one morning.
Everybody gets sick when they party too hard.
Went into the bathroom and started throwing up.
But this was different.
It's a morning ritual.
Scary different.
Except this time there was blood.
Blood and bile.
Came out of my nose in chunks.
I couldn't keep anything down.
Chunks of bile.
I felt like my entire stomach was coming out of my mouth.
Heaven on earth.
Every day I went through the same thing.
Blood and snot.
Violently throwing up.
Every day.
Fucking blood.
Shit.
It was violent. I didn't know the human body could throw up like that.
Heaven on earth.
Just laid on the bathroom floor crying. Crying because of the pain. Crying because I had so many regrets. Crying because I knew I was sick. Crying because I knew that I could never be the same again. Crying because I knew deep down inside there was no way I could ever stop.
You can't cure an addiction.
I didn't stop drinking.
Once you've had a taste of it, you're always going to crave it.
I didn't put an end to crack.
It's a matter of strength.
I kept doing it.
Personal strength.
Except this time my needs were harder and stronger.
Are you strong enough to overcome what your body's been dependent upon your whole life?
So I did what I needed to do in order to fill those needs.
It's a weird feeling when you accept the fact that you have no control.
I am dying.
No control over your body.
I am dying.
You go off of what it wants and what it needs to survive, what you think it needs to survive. It's disturbing to know that what my body wanted was something that was going to kill me in the end.
I am dying.
I thought the pain would go away if I gave my body what it wanted. It didn't.
I am dying.
It didn't go away.
How do you stop an addiction?
I'm addicted.
How do you stop an addiction?
It's a desire and a need.
My body needed it.
Have you ever felt that yearning?
It still needs it.
That urge?
It doesn't go away.
It will never go away.
It doesn't go
it's
away.
It's not going away.
My body was hungry for
anything to fill my emptiness.
That void.
Anything to stop the shaking.
I'd sweat.
My heart would pound.
I'd feel sick.
I'm so sick.
I'm dying.
I'm so sick.
I'm an addict and an alcoholic.
I can't stop.
Just stop. Please stop. He didn't stop.
He never stopped.
It happened right in front of me.
I couldn't do anything.
That's fucking bullshit.
I couldn't do anything.
Heaven on earth. I was on the couch. I couldn't get up.
I don't know which way was up.
I think I was laughing.
Which way was down?
I had the best trip that night.
I don't even remember what I was on.
I was scared.
Helpless.
She was screaming.
It was the kind of scream that rings in your ears.
The kind that haunts your dreams. It was bone chilling.
The kind that makes you cry because it hurts so bad.
She hurt so bad.
I didn't do anything.
He was on top of her.
I didn't do anything.
He was on top of her.
He wouldn't get off.
She was screaming.
He unbuttoned her pants and pushed them around her ankles.
I blacked out.
He raped her. He fucking raped her.
Woke up the next morning and she was sitting on the floor.
I let him rape her.
She was holding herself, rocking back and forth.
I let him rape her.
She was crying, sobbing, violent sobs.
I couldn't know what to do.
Her boyfriend was just sitting there. Lex was just sitting there. He wasn't even looking at her.
It was my fault.
How can you make something like that better?
I'm such a coward.
Something like that doesn't get better. It just doesn't get better.
I'm such a coward.
I wanted to hold her.
I left.
What a coward.
I just walked away.
I put my arms around her.
Away from the crying, the pain, and the anger.
He started hitting and screaming at me.
I walked away from her.
Screams, fucking screams.
I shut the door behind me and walked away.
I deserved to be hit.
I started to run. I didn't care where. I just wanted to be away from her.
I deserved everything she said.
To be away from myself.
I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
You can't run away from your problems. They're still there when you wake up in the morning.
I'm trash. I'm a fucking junkie.
Couldn't stop the tears.
I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
I couldn't stop the pain.
I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
I couldn't stop the anger. I couldn't stop the guilt and the regret.
I hate what I've done. I hate knowing that I could have stopped my friend from being raped had I been sober.
Who I was.
Hurts me more than you ever know.
I cried like a child. A child who is deprived of a mother's love, a father's love, any love at all.
I'm living in a nightmare and I can't wake up.
I can't outrun my past.
Is this really my life?
I can't take back what I've done.
This is my life.
I made a choice.
This life was my choice.
I always had a choice.
I don't know where to go from here.
I just made the wrong ones.
This is my life. It's what I do with it now that defines who I am.
My name is Lex.
Royce.
I'm an alcoholic and an addict. Thanks for listening to my story.
Hi, I'm Mary and this is Joe.
I'm Mary's husband.
Oh, and that's our little one.
He sure is a handful.
He takes after his father. Like many youngsters, little Jay sometimes has trouble sleeping.
We tried everything.
Moving him out of the manger.
New blinds to block out the starlight.
The pony's pilot playset.
Nothing worked.
We were at our wits' end. Then our doctor recommended KBOO.
He said the soothing sounds of the diverse, commercial-free programming would give our son the peace of mind needed for a good night's rest.
He was so right.
It worked like a charm.
We were so happy. We became members.
And you can, too. Just dial 503-232-8818 in the Bethlehem metro area or 1-877-500-KBOO from Egypt or Sumeria.
For much less than the price of a wise man's gift, you can support the station that's practically heaven sent.
Just like my boy.
Don't wait for plague, pestilence, war, or famine. Call now, 503-232-8818.
Our little champ likes KBOO so much, we let him listen all day long.
Do you think it's influencing him at all?
Oh, come on, he's just a baby. He has no idea what he's hearing.
Yeah, who's a little Messiah?
Who's a little Messiah?
Thank you.
daydreaming.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. You're the only thing I'm thinking of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while. You're sure to find happiness and happiness. All those things you always pine for.
Meanwhile, back on Earth.
All those things you always pine for.
Huh? What did you say?
Really, Elliot, if I want to be alone, I can eat in my office. This is worse.
Sorry, my mind wandered.
Now that you're 32, I suppose I'm to expect that.
Yeah, funny. Near the end, and you kick me.
But all the time...
You're worried,
I've been
you?
A-climbing on and reaching
when
landings...
When do you have to go?
Corners.
March 15th?
Sometimes going in the dark.
Beware.
Beware?
The Ides of March, if Romulus only knew.
Don't be melodramatic. You don't need all that stuff to perform your function. It's just cluttering up your head. You've told me so yourself, that you remember useless information from your childhood that you don't need now, that you don't want and you can't get rid of. Here is your chance to wipe it away, like cleaning the virtual drive in your data pad so you can add more info. You clean fragments and unused files from that without a tear. Why the blues about having your memory scanned and cleansed?
It's just this, Jack. When all of us have our memories purged of the past, no one knows who Archie Shep is anymore. Then how will we...
Elliot. Databanks, libraries, files. We can query any information. You're sounding like your grandmother or any other traditionalist. Archie Shep is like a droplet of water you lose when it falls into the sink. You never really had it anyway.
My mind is a postmodern collage of ideas and memories based on the synthesis of every image and sound that came into my head in 32 years. From all this mess in my head, there's something new. I'm afraid.
Everyone does it. I've done it, and I'm still the same person you knew in college. See, I remember important facts and relationships that have contributed to the productivity of my life. You sound like some poetic entertainer. Your specific memories just aren't that important to the mainstream.
I'm afraid I won't have a feeling about... About butterflies, and steam whistles, and the smell of pie cooling on the
windowsill. You never smelled pie cooling on the windowsill. You read Mark Twain, and you can download it again. You can even download the smell of pie cooling. You're ridiculous. I have to go back to work. Did Lala put those ideas in your head? You sound like her, and you know, you don't want to end up like her. She can't even keep a job.
I know.
Crystal stare.
I'll see you later. Thanks for coming out to lunch with me. Yeah, this is my favorite park bench in the whole city. From here, I can see all the life of midday. From here, I can watch the success and failure of the race and its odd relationship with environment.
Good. That should really increase the quality of your life.
You remember it for me. I'm sure the memory won't be there next week after they scour me.
Elliot, you don't have to. God damn, you're so infuriating. Good.
Don't you fall now. Her eyes still going, honey. Eyes still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
That should really increase the quality of your life.
You remember it for me. I'm sure the memory won't be there next week after they scour me.
Elliot, you don't have to. God damn, you're so infuriating.
I love you too.
Love? What are you doing? Why do you have to do this to me right before I go back to the office? Why can't you just be calm and at peace like all these people? How am I supposed to work?
Bye. Bye.
You're an asshole.
Well, if you really must, I will have to accept that, won't I? Right. So you'll call me? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Who was that?
Social worker. I was good, wasn't I? Huh?
Good? What?
I'm off the meds. Cut rid of the prescription. I'm all natural.
Turn that thing off. I can't hear a word.
I'm medication-free, manipulation-free.
Well, God, Lala, they're going to know. You can't do that.
Well, I don't think they have the goddamn right to my memories. They didn't clean them, they fucking stole them. It's fascist, Elliot, and you know it.
Oh, come on. People called government investigative software a fascist move, too. Even though it was necessary to provide security. What is your real complaint? You don't regret the loss of your memories at all. You just want the power to tell the government what to do.
Elliot, you sound like one of them. They're messing with my brain. They're scrambling me up like some kind of frothy drink with no taste. Every goddamn day, everything in my world makes sense. Every bit of it makes sense. And I don't get no anomalies or half thoughts, bits of songs, a phrase you can't place. They got them, Elliot. I don't care, but they were mine and they don't have the fucking right. The right to...
Calm down. You'd start losing memory anyway in the next 20 years. Look, Lala,
You'll find out, Elliot. Next week you'll find out, and you won't be so quick to point a finger. And you know what else?
Only a meteor shower would prevent you from telling me.
I don't dream. Not a whisper of a dream. No one who has been cleansed gets to dream anymore, and you won't either. You know that thing, I know. I was not looking for my dreams to interpret my life, but for my life to interpret my dreams. Try that with no dreaming. I can't even remember who said that because the useless fact of remembering the experience of finding it has been stripped away.
Susan Sontag. So it does bother you not to have the memories, and you aren't just pissed off at the government.
No, Elliot, you idiot. Of course I'm upset. I'm scared not to know what I've lost. I'm not worried about the past or who won the pennant in 64. Who cares? I'm scared not to know the future, and I've gained some comfort of the future because of my past and the familiarity with sensual experiences. I can't download those.
That's what I thought.
Elliot. Elliot. I can't remember how to fuck.
Bullshit.
I remember where everything goes and how to arouse my mate, but Elliot, I don't know how to make love. I don't know how to plunge into the depths of touch in a single solitary nanosecond so that my feet tinkle and my ears get hot with expectation based on memory. I can't get there. I can't find it. I've got to learn to anticipate the feeling all over again. It's killing me. I can do it, you know, but can't feel it.
You think they're all like that?
Of course. You've slept with a squeaky clean one. It's like screwing a dishwasher. Jackie's like that. Watch her. When she gets into any place where a feeling used to be, she freaks out because she remembers the feeling, but she can't feel it in the present. She has these big holes, man.
The remainder of the room does duty as a shop, where velveteen and leather, flannel shirts and calico ditto. The latter starched to...
Listening to your old recordings is a kind of vicious nostalgia. Does it really help you remember?
No. But I want to remember how I felt about how things felt. Don't look at me like that. You know what I mean. I've lost all my flavor, you know? Like tofu cooked without the special sauces. After next week, you'll be the same way. Our memories are from experiences synthesized, Elliot. We've made all those dumb pictures and sensual memories into something else, something new that no one ever documented as a category all through time. Now it's too late. Nothing to build on. We've used up our future.
It is better she should die doing the things she wants to do than she should die because
she
can't do it.
Now what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
The dark storm clouds. To my mind's eye are gathering in our horizon, and even now they flap their cold bat-like wings about my head, causing my heart to tremble with fear. I am so impressed some night.
I haven't heard from either of them in a week.
We know. We scanned your office, data, home, and transportation tapes. We know you ate here with Elliot last week.
Yes, of course. You had to check. Then you know I haven't seen them. He was apprehensive about the purge, as you know. Beyond that, I can't tell you anything. But I'm not surprised he missed his appointment.
It's a small planet, Jackie. We'll find them. The last person disappeared for 12 days. That's the record. How's all this affecting your productivity?
All what? Nothing. Fine. As usual, I suppose. I'd like to know that my friend is okay.
Yes. Makes sense. We've read your supervisor's report, and some of your goals for the week have not been met.
I'm a little behind. Happens. I'll come up to speed.
If the discussion you had with Elliot was disturbing, we could correct it for you, since he's disappeared anyway.
No, I'm fine. If I think something is bothering me...
You have my card. Don't let it get to dangerous levels. You seem conscientious, Jeff. I gotta go. I have another appointment.
We have tomorrow, bright before us like a flame. Yesterday a night gone thing, a sundown name. And dawn today, broad arch above the road we came. We march, Americans together. We march.
You're the only thing I'm thinking of, baby.
Okay. It's
dream
done.
Dream a while.
How are you
scheme
sending these
while.
Out so that they can't trace You're, them?
I've got it good, Lala. Something about sending through different couriers I learned by playing spy with my brother when we were kids. They won't get us, and they won't catch her. I'll send it. My friend in Ohio will be ready to throw this into the data stream soon.
Memories for everyone. Okay, hurry, send this. I've been burning for you all morning. I'll get the fudge sauce.
Right.
Skipping rope in the park and smelling the leaves burn.
Skipping rope in the park and smelling the leaves burning. A man's fragrant cigar. The shepherd smelled like moss for some reason, and I remembered my mom's tempeh bacon with soy and Worcester sauce.
Jackie, can you hear me with those things on?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Blunn. I guess it was up too loud. What can I do for you?
Just don't forget to stream the Forbin Project data to the LA office, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Blund. I'll remember. Don't worry. I'll remember now. I won't forget. Don't worry. I'll remember now. I won't forget. When we played in the snow.
When we played in the snow.
The sensation of wet gloves smelling like snow. And being hot and cold at the same time.
Richie's dog licking my face with its warm breath.
And smelling that with the crisp afternoon and a hint of more snow coming.
We have tomorrow, bright before us like a flame. Yesterday a night gone thing, a sundown name. And dawn today, broad arch above the road we came.
Thank you, Heidi Hinshaw, for listening to your very first Sudden Radio Project.
For March 2006, we hope you enjoyed the show and that you had an opportunity to...
We hope you enjoyed it twice.
...become a member. Contributors to tonight's program included A. May Kelly, John Seven, Orion Gray, Maya Flessis, Daniel Flessis, Lindsay Coppin, Steve Coppin, Greg Weber, Sarah Thompson, James Lawrence, Sharon Mann, Marguerite Scott, Barbara Genovese, and Todd Greblow. The Sudden Radio Project will return on April 24th. In the meantime, you can enjoy the other fine radio theater programs on KABU, the surreal shenanigans of the Ubu Hour, the improvisational inspiration of the listeners, and the stupendous storytelling of Gremlin Time. ¶¶
Surely you recognize me. I'm the Mona Lisa. For centuries, art lovers have wondered, what is the source of my mysterious smile? Well, a lady never reveals her secrets. Though it is worth noting that while he was painting me, Leo listened faithfully to the webcast of KBOO. Everything from positively revolting talk radio to a different nature, and of course, Art Focus and the Italian Hour. At one point, he practically dropped his brush, ran over to the phone, dialed 503-232-8818, and pledged 120 ducats to the station. He was quite upset with himself when he saw the phone bill and realized he could have called toll-free, 1-877-500-5266. Even geniuses make mistakes. But you don't have to be a visionary or a vision to support listener-sponsored non-corporate radio. Just dial 503-232-8818 and become a member. It'll put a smile on your face, I promise.
Thank you for listening. Good night.
Tiki Cha Cha Club Club.
And here we go again with another edition of that wacky cha-cha club. It's the tacky cha-cha club, and some call it the hippie cha-cha club, but we'll wait till spring to wear those flowers in our hair. Let's just say, as we've been saying for a long time now, that it's known as the tiki cha-cha club. Stay tuned. Taking you to faraway places and bringing them home to you. You're listening to the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.